Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Amen. Let's all stand together. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Praise God. Well, this is the second in the series of teachings we're going to be talking about for the next 4 to 6 weeks about the real American idols. And our scripture today we're going to find in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 22. You'll find the responding scriptures on the screen behind me. It says this: "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." Now, I want you to stop right there. I want you, I haven't asked you to do this, probably I can't think of when the last time I asked you. I want you, if you haven't memorized that scripture, you will memorize it by next week. Can you do that? Amen. Come on. Can I get some agreement in the house? Amen. It's going to be important because it's going to help you to become a victorious in Christ. So that's an assignment. I've given you an assignment for years. So now you have one. Okay, I'm going to go on from there. So, therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is not the communion of the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Verse 22 together, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are strong. Are we using he? Well, let's pray. We're going to have something to pray about today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, today we're going to talk about some things that will get right to the issue of not only idolatry, but the thing about demons. We don't talk about demons, but Lord, many of us would hate to say or even to admit, but we are under the control or listening to demonic forces. But today we're going to cast that out, and today we're going to get victory over the world today because of what your word is going to do in our lives. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, I even proclaim even now that the shackles will be broken off your people, that we would have a foundation that is sure, that stands against all the opposition of the world, that the power of the Holy Ghost would just partake in this place today. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, somebody shout amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we're ready. You can be seated. I don't know for how long, because I feel pretty fired up today, y'all. This is how it goes. We find various things in literature and such like this. And remember, I mentioned just off the cuff the whole thing about Pandora, the little simple story about Pandora and Pandora's box. People use that phrase at times. I want to give you just a little bit of history here. Greek mythology, the story of Pandora, was a simple plot of a little girl who was given a box. Actually, it was a jar that she was told not to open under any circumstances. Doesn't that sound wonderful? How will that work with your kids? Pandora didn't know better than what you would have done, so that's okay. It would take very little imagination to predict what she might do. And after opening it, great evil spread widely across the earth. Now, remember, this is mythology, but I want you to think about it in terminology. That there's a lot of things, if we had left things alone, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in. Somebody say amen. Amen. Mama told you not to, but you had to try it, and guess what? Now it owns you. Well, Before closing the box, she discovered one power called hope. And I'm here to give you hope today, that no matter what you state you've got yourself in, there is hope in Jesus Christ to set you free from anything you turn loose out of that box. Come on. There are things you may have said, there are things you may have done, there are things that you may have released, but I want to tell you there's hope in Jesus to set you free. Amen. That was the only thing that was left. So before she closes, she said, oh my goodness. So opening it again, she releases hope in an effort for mankind to have hope along with the many evils to contend with. You may be going through a lot of stuff, but Jesus is in the midst of it. He gives you hope that you can get out. You can be set free. Somebody wave your hand and say, thank you, Jesus, because you can be free today. This is exciting. Well, here's my question. First one, have you ever really taken the time to survey and capture what it is that holds you hostage to the things that you know are not good for you? It's survey time. Why do you do what you do continually and keep going back to doing it? Now, Paul has this, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thanks be to Jesus who does all these different things. He says, but the thing that I hate is what I end up doing. You don't have to testify, I'm testifying for you. But there's deliverance in Jesus. Let me get to number two. Do you find any consolation in the fact that the struggle of idolatry has been with us since the beginning of time? Says, well, man struggled all their life. I'm in the struggle. Well, that's encouraging. Let me go to number three. Can you reckon with the jealousy of God as being something that is wholly justifiable? The Lord says, I'm a jealous God, and I'm going to define for you what God says when he says he's jealous. If you think that he thinks that anything in this world is better than him, that's not the story. So we'll get a real context of that in a little bit. Let's jump right into where we are. Abraham's father and mother were idol worshipers. Joshua 24:2. Now Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. He said, what? Abraham's daddy was an idol worshiper. He said, what? Abraham's is the father of our faith, and he was an idol worshiper? Uh-huh. And we don't have anything that will tell us that he ever stopped worshiping idols. I'm not saying that maybe he caught on to what Abram caught on to when he started serving the all-living God. But I want to tell you and show you through Scripture why you are the way you are. He said, really? Hang on, here we go. The father of Abraham, the father of our faith, had pagan parents. They served other gods. Here's another thing you need to know. Abraham was given a choice with a promise from God if he chose to follow him. It doesn't matter what your parents did. It's the matter is what you are going to do. Stop blaming mama. Stop blaming daddy, your next door neighbor, your teacher, everybody else. You get to make a choice. See, my mother never held me. She never nursed me. Daddy never validated me. That's the reason why I'm such a mess. Oh, no, it ain't, honey. There's a time when we get to make a choice. Let me show you what Scripture says about this. Genesis 12:1-3. Let's read through this. This is going to be good. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and from your father's house and to a land which I will show you. There is some day when you're going to have to make a break. Now, that doesn't mean your daddy was all bad, your mom was all bad, but you know, there's a time when you have to separate and you have to take responsibility for yourself. Y'all within 30-year-old and 35-year-old son, boy, he's just trying to find himself. Get him out of your house. Get him. Stop him from swinging on your refrigerator door. I'm here to help you. Well, you know, she just hasn't really found herself yet. She's 42.
don't know what's he looking for, but baby, it ain't at your house, okay? I'm sorry, I need to say that. I'm going on, okay. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, notice he says this. I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. Doesn't say anything about your daddy. No. God says, if you make this choice, I promise you, it's going to be the best choice you've ever made. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Oh, my. Can you find a better deal than that ever? I'm going to bless everyone that blesses you. See, you don't have to curse out nobody from this day on. Stop cursing the folks that cut you off in traffic. Leave them alone. God's going to bless every person that lets you in traffic and curse all the ones who don't. You say, where'd you find? In the Bible. It's in the Bible. I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. That's pretty interesting. He says, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. You know that you carry within you as a believer in the body in Christ, you carry a blessing with you that wherever you go, you can leave a blessing behind you. Amen. For the other folks who are kind of twisted, you need to stay home because you're leaving curses behind you. Because it was messed up for you. It was messed up and now it's more messed up because you came. Well, let's move on. We are constantly teaching our children to be an example of what things are worthy of worshiping. Now, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of these things. The law of exposure occurs without even trying. The law of exposure is very simply this. It's what you've been exposed to most of your life will carry over into childhood, adulthood, the rest of your life. Because it's what you're used to. Now, there's some things you think you're so unique, you are not that unique. Some of you do things exactly the way your mama did it or the way your daddy did it. And it's not necessarily bad. But when you come to Jesus, God says, there's some things about you I need to change because that is not the way I want to have it done. You're under new management. Get that? Simply put, career, perfection, status, sports, money, entertainment are just a few. Some of you like the same sports team your daddy liked. You know why? Because your daddy liked it. Ain't no rhyme or reason. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan to the day I die. Why? Because daddy was. Really? I mean, that's, and I'm not saying it's necessarily toxic, but that's the only reasoning we can put to it. Well, moving a little further, we say this, without emphasizing any of these things, what captures our attention and focus is automatically transferred to them. Now, I'm going to take ownership here. I have children, and I'm noticing they have some of the same tendencies that I do. Now, I have two natural by childbirth, and I have four, all the guys are, you know, I went to the store and found them, brought them home. It's a lot easier. Mama didn't have to go through nothing. That'll work. It worked for her. But regardless of whether I got them from the store or they came out of her oven, they have a lot of things like me. Because they were around me. And I'm thinking, and I look at my wife, where'd she get that from? She said, she got it directly from you. She's just like you. I said, well, and when she says this word, Richard Allen, that's time for me to be quiet. Yeah, we just move on from that point. Well, this is how it works. Worship is what we were designed and created to do. Somebody say amen. But here's the deal. We get to choose what we worship. You don't have to worship the things that your parents are. You don't have to, but we get to choose. And the other thing about it is God will never sign on to an open relationship to be shared with others. And the Lord says, you need to choose who you're going to worship. But you know what? The shared occupancy isn't working for me. What does that mean? When we talk about the jealousy of God, we must consider what it means to be unfaithful in a relationship. When God says, I'm a jealous God, this is a very simple definition, but it will help you tremendously. It means, very simply, that God says, I do not want to deal with someone who's unfaithful. When you marry someone, the underlying principle, you know, I just did a marriage ceremony just yesterday, you know, to love, to cherish, you know, it's a, you know, till death us do part, you know, or you know, do you promise to take this woman to be faithful to him or her alone as long as you both shall live? That's part of the vow. I will. I will. Till he tick me off. Well, I find something better on the internet. Yeah, really? It's the same way with God, but I put it in that particular context. Is would you want to be around someone that you knew was going to be unfaithful? They said, well, I'm committed to you today, but you know, I can't tell you about tomorrow. Yeah. Well, let's move right along. Many Christians choose to believe that they can maintain a relationship with Jesus and have close fellowship with the world. You say, where'd you get that from? Just watching how folks behave. Let's break it down a little bit further. The honest truth is what we crave, that we crave evil things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6, it says this. Now these things became an examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now what does it mean to lust after evil things? It means you want what they've got. Lust is a powerful word. Letting, L-U-S-T, letting uncontrolled senses trip you up. L-U-S-T. Letting uncontrolled senses trip you up. Wow. Oh, you won't forget that one. That means our senses need to be under control of the Holy Spirit. Not some of the time, but all of the time. Well, here we go with this one. The appetite for evil things is usually tied to things of our past that have a stronghold on our spirit. See, when you're partaking of something and you say, well, I know it's not good for me, but I just can't help myself. I know I shouldn't be doing this. No, you don't. You know what you're doing. If you know it, then you should be doing it. I know I shouldn't be in this relationship with him, but you know, he just makes me feel. Help us, Jesus. I've never felt like this before in my entire life. You make me feel like a natural backslider. I don't know where that came from, but that's okay. Some things we remember from our past will give us the false illusion that they will fit into our present relationship with the Lord. I said, you don't have to put that away. Just God understands. It's okay. Oh, my goodness. One more. Here we go. We can very easily forget the bondage and slavery that once held us captive to evil imagination. We forget, we get into this situation and they say, that's the reason why I shouldn't do that. Too late. The gods of culture will deceive us into thinking that we are only doing what comes naturally. How does that work? Things that once outraged us are still easily adapted into our thinking or way of life. Now, let me just take you to from where we are, we'll say 10 years ago. Where it was 10 years ago, where it is today. There are things that we have accepted because of the culture, because of all the things that are going on, legislation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So now, and I'll give you some real hard statistics. Right now, in the Christian community, it is now accepted 56% of people, you know, that claim to go into churches, this type of thing, they think that same-sex marriage is okay. 56%. Now, I'm going to get real with you. And some of that 56% is sitting in this room today looking right at me. Uh-oh. Oh, my. When people are in love, it's just love. You can't stop love. What does the Bible say? When you start exchanging your feelings for the Word of God, you've got a problem. It doesn't mean that you hate people that that have fallen under this particular lie or deception, but at the same time, you don't accept it as being fact and truth according to the Word of God. Can I get an amen in the house? Now, if you've been on that slippery slope, say, well, you know, we can just kind of embrace those things and we can win them by just loving them into the kingdom. If they don't know the truth ever, it ain't never going to change. Well, it's going to be a rough ride today. Shootings and gang violence in the streets are news items that we will only take great note of if it affects us in a personal way. You say, how did you get in that political arena? You went from same-sex marriage to gang violence? How's that work? I want to help you with the fact that the devil is trying to anesthetize us toward what's real. Now, I had a friend of mine the other day. Her daughters were out doing something in the morning, and they got caught in the crossfire of there was a shootout at a 7-Eleven store. And so, oh, it was so horrible. They were shooting and this type of thing. We couldn't get our car and this type of thing. Do you think they stopped going out places at this point? Even though it was scary and this type of thing, but I tell you what, we just put it away for a little while. We're scared for a little while, but we'll continue to do the very same things we were doing before it actually happened. Now, I'm not saying you need to sit at your home sequestered, but the enemy's trying to get us used to this type of thing so we no longer have a reaction of how to pray and how to cast the devil out of that situation. Well, many of us have idols hiding in plain sight. Here it comes. Brace yourself. Some are 40 inches, some are 50. Some are panoramic, curved. Some have Dolby sound. You have a greater relationship with that electronic object than you have with Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Your Bible's sitting over there covered with dust. But that remote is in your hand. Help us, Jesus. That's not an idol. It's not an idol. All right, let me ask you a question. How much time do you spend with it compared to how much time you spend with the Word of God? I think you're just being too nosy. You're trying to make me feel good. I ain't trying to make you feel nothing. But I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit's trying to say something needs to change. Well, we have habit conformity. We just kind of conform to those things. Well, anyway, if we must be aware of we must be aware of chasing pleasure or the things that will lead to it. Now I get to 1 Corinthians 10:13. There is no temptation taking you such as common to man. But God is faithful, will not tempt you beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you will be able to endure. Is that what that says? I'll tell you why I know that scripture. Because it was essential for me to learn, and I learned that scripture probably 50 years ago. Have I always walked by it? No. But I tell you, but I know it. And so when I say, oh God, I can't handle this temptation, he says, there is no temptation take you such as common man. This ain't no new thing. I don't care how they package it. It's not a new thing. The internet, you say, oh, the internet. Oh, I don't live without the internet. You can unplug the internet. You can keep yourself away from the internet. But if it's still, the internet is still in you, it doesn't matter. It's more than electronics. It's a heart issue. And God wants to help you with that. Well, when we pursue or worship pleasure, the end result will always be pain. I'm going to talk about pleasure and pain for a few moments, if you don't mind. And that means that oftentimes the temptation really is for pleasure. Now, is all pleasure wrong? Absolutely not. But the obsession with pleasure, oftentimes we can justify for a number of reasons. Well, what about this? We will turn the gifts that God has given us into idols. Some of you are tremendous, tremendous at things that you do. You may be athletically gifted. You may be musically gifted. You may be other ways gifted, cooking, whatever it is. But we turn it into an idol. It's distorted. It's twisted. It becomes a hindrance. It becomes a focus of who we are. I've met some incredible musicians in my lifetime, or incredible cooks, or incredible anything it happens to be. And what happens is that becomes your identity. That's not who you are. Let me help you with this. We will fall under the spell of desire for more and never be able to achieve satisfaction. More, more, more. And once we get to this level, well, just a little bit more of this, a little bit of that, I'll be, no, just, it never ends. Yeah. Idols, here comes one, get ready, of busyness will cause you to justify behavior that is totally contradictory to a relationship with Jesus. You know something? Being overly busy, or we call it multitasking. I can read my Bible, and I can do all this, and I can do be on my phone, everything, all at the same time. You are crazy. And when you accept that as a lifestyle, that you're going to share that time that should be only for Jesus with this other stuff, you have been absolutely, positively deceived. Jesus said, put down your phone, turn off your TV set, wait till your friend leaves, and let's have some time together. Here's another thing I want to tell you. Now, you got 1 Corinthians 10:13, you'll memorize that. Only one other thing. I'm not going to make this a heavy assignment. But find some time to just be alone with Jesus. Amen. Just you and Jesus. Now, I'm going to leave it real low. Just 10 minutes. Because I'll tell you what. When you're there for 10 minutes, all of a sudden it'll be 15, then 20, then all of a sudden, just, this is what I've been missing. Well, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. We must not vacillate between two opinions. This is great. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. Now watch this. But the people answered him not a word. Now the part I didn't get until I read this, the fact is, he says, well, if God is God, if Baal's God, sir. And you know, they said, could you repeat the question? Why do you need to repeat the question? If God is God, serve him. If Baal is God, serve him. But you know what we think? Because we have an answer, it feels like, well, there was no question ever proposed. And that is nonsense. Many of us like to have options because it makes us feel important. Today I choose to follow God. Tomorrow I'm really not sure, but today I'll follow Jesus. Like you've done him some big favor. Are you kidding me? I don't know where I'll be tomorrow, but today, just for today. Well, some of us feel that Jesus is begging us to choose him over other things. Pick me, pick me, pick me. Really? That's not true. If you need to know the whole scenario where this happened, Elijah was in a situation where it was kind of a call fire down from heaven situation. The God who responds by fire, he's the real God. And so God will demonstrate if necessary. It's not for the very sake that he needs to prove anything to anyone, but Elijah set the stakes pretty high. He says, the God who answers by fire, he is really, truly God. Because before then, they're saying, well, you know, if God is God, serve him. Baal's God, serve him. People said, they didn't say anything. Now, let me tell you something right now. Some of you are sitting in this room right now, and you're at the crossroads of making a decision whether you're going to serve God or serve the devil. What? I go to church every week. I didn't ask you where you went to church or if you went to church. But sometimes it's for week after week we come here, we hear all the various options. Well, you know, I should really be giving myself to God, but let me hear some more information before I decide. Well, let's look at this. Some of us feel that Jesus is begging us to choose him over other things. Jesus wants us to make up our mind and our own decision. But how about this? When people in this scripture were confronted, they did not answer him a word. And you feel like, because I haven't said anything, I'm still in the courtroom of debate. Not to decide is to have made a decision. Not to decide is to have made a decision. Everybody get that? Because the decision needs to be different than the decision you've already made. Right now, you're not serving God. So in order for you to serve God, you're going to say, well, you know, I'm getting on his team. Because right now, I'm kind of on the fence. The devil's on the fence all this time. You ain't on no fence. But that sounds, oh, he could just kind of give me a shove either way. Yeah. Not to declare our decision to follow Jesus is to have affirmed our decision to remain a worshiper of, it's up there, demons. Now, I know that's going to hurt some people. He said, Pastor, call us demon worshipers. Yes, I did. That doesn't sound very good. I mean, demons are nasty, ugly things. They do bad things. I don't worship things that do bad things. Yes, you do. Wow, my feelings are hurt. Good. Work with it. What he's saying is you cannot follow Jesus and the devil. Is that unclear? Anybody confused over that? No man can serve two masters. Either you'll hate one and love the other, or love one and hate. I mean, you cannot be schizophrenic in your relationship with God. Well, and we're still talking about idolatry. We must make the willful choice to flee idolatry. And some of you, before you leave here today, you're going to make a choice to that particular dimension, not because I said so, but because the Holy Spirit is working that in your heart. We can only flee idolatry if we are willing to call it for what it is. Let me give you an example. Go back to where I was a few minutes ago. And this is not going to kill you. It's going to help you. When you're willing or able to say, I have made an idol out of TV, you can be set free. But see, here's our problem. If we don't admit it, it doesn't exist. But if you admit it, say, you know what? TV dominates too much of my time. It's like an idol in my life, and that needs to change. You know what happens at this point? It's not like God's going to say, well, finally. It's like all of a sudden the curse, because you've exposed the works of the devil. But as long as you don't talk about it, as long as you don't act upon it, it will still keep you in its crutches. Somebody say amen, because I know I'm telling the truth. Well, it's amazing, because we cannot expect ourselves to really prosper when we continue in that particular dimension. So we can only free idolatry if we're willing to call for what it truly is. Well, then, God will never set us up for failure. That means all temptation is common to our flesh. That's good. Jesus will never allow you to be pushed past your limits. I just couldn't help myself. I'm a victim. I don't know how I got in this situation. I'm a victim. They tricked me. No, they didn't. You lied to yourself. And then here's some people say, it happened again. What are you talking about? It happened again. You were a part of it happening again, right? Because you were over there so it could happen to you. If you hadn't been there, it wouldn't have had no effect on you. Stop blaming it on it and blame it on me. I did it again. Take the T off and put the I in its proper place and you'll get some salvation. Quit talking about abstracts of it. I did it. But you know what? There's no condemnation. Once we admit it, we can be free to be all God wants us to be. Well, yeah, there's always a door of escape. I want to get into kind of some serious teaching here for the next few moments. The God of sex will take you farther than you intended to go. You say, oh, he's going to get X-rated. I'm not get X-rated, R-rated, whatever it is. It's in the Bible. Call it whatever you want. Put a grade on if you want to, but it's in the Word of God. I ain't saying nothing bad. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read it, and this is in your Bible in case you want to check it out. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister, Tamar, that he became sick, for she was a virgin. And it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. This is out of the Bible. Okay? Okay, we're in the next few verses. Get real steamy now. Okay. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Now, Jonadab was a very crafty man. He said to him, why are you, the king's son, becoming thinner day after day? Will you not tell me? I'm going to leave it right there. Amnon was stricken with an addiction of sexual impropriety that only made him sick, but it also caused him to lose weight. He's losing weight. He's losing all his country because he's sick over the fact that he feels like he wants to have a relationship with his sister, and he knows he's not supposed to. See, when we get into stuff and we know we're not supposed to and we do it anyway, whose fault is that? Well, let me break it down for you. The young and the restless, all of my children. The have and the have-nots. Days of our lives. You won't do it, but you'll watch it. Oh, let me help you today. Some of you have a vicarious addiction with watching other folks act a fool. Right. Oh, did you see? You know what he said? Like they're real people. It's going to get rough, folks. If you leave now, we know why. I would keep my seat. When we allow sex to become an idol, there are no limits or boundaries. He doesn't care. Sister, mama, whatever it happens to be. They even talk about that in the New Testament. One fellow, he said he's after his father's wife. He gets together with her, gets the hookup. Don't believe me? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Well, I'm breaking it down for you today because you folks have to get right. The church is not immune from this type of relationship. But I want to tell you, that's when you make an idol out of sex. So, we can become sick and unable to function, allowing sexual frustration to rule our lives. Don't say amen there, because people will know what's going on. Oh, Jesus. The idol of sex has no limits. I'm trying to help you, okay? Amnon allowed depression to take over his life because of his obsession concerning his sister. We're going to go down to verses 11 through 15. This is where it gets steamy. It's in your Bible, okay? Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before you. Is that the right place? I'm not sure. I think we skipped a thing here. No, I guess we're okay. Or are we? Because that doesn't seem like it's exactly right. Let me fix that real quick. Okay. 13? Oh, I see. They said 12. It should be 13. Let me go with that real quick. Yeah, we'll get it. Because I don't want you to miss this. This is just so... Okay. 2 Samuel. Was it now? We got it now? Okay. There we go. So David said to Nathan, no, that ain't it either. But that's a good one, though. All I can tell you, it ran in the family. They all had issues. They had issues. Yeah, Lord. Okay, chapter 13, verse 11, it says, so when he arranged to trick her into bringing him some food this time, pretend like he was sick, but pick it up at verse 11. He says this, and when she had brought him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister. But she answered him, no, my brother, do not force me, for such a thing should be done in Israel. Do not do this disgraceful thing. Could I take my shame as if for you, and you would be like one of the fools in Israel? I like that, fool. You're a fool. Anyway, now therefore, please speak to the king, for he will not withhold me from you. However, he would not heed her voice, and being stronger, he forced her and lay with her. Verse 15, it says, and Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise and be gone. Is that twisted and jacked up? See, after you get what you thought you wanted, you find out you didn't want it or didn't need it in the first place. But the devil will make you so twisted and so out of your mind that once you get with, oh, what do I? And then all of a sudden she becomes disposable material. Lord have mercy. Idols do not recognize boundaries. That satisfaction he thought he would have did not happen. The god of sex delivers the opposite of what it promises. Emptiness and hunger will replace the love and passion that you are seeking. Let me tell you quickly, the battlefield for your heart begins in your mind. What we think will result in love will foster hate and disgust. Satisfaction will be riddled with guilt and emptiness. Hatred will displace the love we thought we were pursuing. We must be willing to deal with the pain of sex outside of the will of God. And I'm just going to give you a few things. I'm just about done for today because I got plenty to talk about. This is what God had in mind for sex. As a gift, it brings connection. As a God, it causes loneliness. As a gift, it brings pleasure. As a God, it brings emptiness. As a gift, it brings satisfaction. As a God, it demands slavery. As a gift, it brings intimacy. As a God, it breeds separation. As a gift, it brings unity. As a God, it will often foster divorce. You know, I'm gonna finish this little section here. I got 6 minutes. I'm not gonna do it in six. It'll probably be 11, but that's okay. Because I gotta get to this last one. The God of comfort food. Ooh, Jesus. I know some of you want to hit the door. It's too late. Too late. Don't leave now, baby. Don't leave now. Because we're coming at you with barrels blazing. John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the Father has set his seal on him." Oh, Lord Jesus. Now, let me just start out by saying, this last week, I had two marvelous meals at some very, very high-end restaurants. I mean, two of the highest-end restaurants in the city. You say, how'd you do that? I didn't pay for neither one of them. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't seek either one of them, but I had me some dinner. Yes, I did, baby. But it's when you go out on the hunt and try to fix it for yourself, you're going to have a problem. Let me get to this real quickly. We have mistakenly given the name comfort food to displace Jesus as the true comforter. Here's how it works. We're not eating to live, we're living to eat. And isn't it interesting? You say, "Oh, honey, you have not lived until you tried the biscuits at Gravy's, honey. They will put it on there. That gravy's on there. It's to die for." We'll testify about food and won't say nothing about Jesus. Oh, I know. It's getting out. It's marinating. Good, good, good. Jesus warns us not to labor for food that will perish, but rather to find our fulfillment in him. Now, quickly, the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans 14, 17. Yeah, it's not eating or drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. What does that mean in the Holy Spirit? Quickly, the soul of man is constantly in search of that which will bring comfort and contentment. Now, am I legislating against food? No. But why is it we are so easy to get addicted to that and we're not addicted to Jesus? Food can become a substitute for temporary satisfaction because it can bring physical satisfaction that can defer spiritual connection. Or what about this? Good food can create an appetite and forecast for future engagement to revisit the same feeling of fullness and euphoria. Are you ready for this? Honey, you have not lived until you've had food at da 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 da. And we'll say it with such conviction. And we'll even get them a gift card so they can be a fellow addict. First thing, start a recovery group. Everything'll be fine. But I want to end strong here because I want to tell you these things. We should acquaint ourselves with the reality of heaven's bread. Heaven's bread is the person of Jesus. It is salvation that comes through knowing and loving Jesus. Somebody say amen. Amen. We're talking about heaven's bread. A couple other things we'll say about this as I'm closing up today. Heaven's bread has the power to save, secure, satisfy the sinner who reaches out in faith. There's no need for quality control because there is nothing greater or better. You know, they have all these kind of wisteria things, and Chipotle had a hard time with whatever they had going in their restaurant, and people stopped going there, and they got this E. coli outbreak, this type of thing. Heaven's bread never had a problem, never will have one, because it's founded in the person of Jesus. The quality is always at the very top notch. It was after he went to the cross and he rose on the third day that now we have access to the Father through Jesus Christ, and it's always available to us. Heaven's bread has promised everlasting life. Once you partake of it, you will never experience hunger that cannot be satisfied. Ever eaten a meal and still been hungry? Everybody has. But when you partake of Jesus, he'll fill you. What about this? Heaven's bread is offered for free because the price has already been paid. John chapter 6, verse 32. Worship team, you can come up here. This is my last little portion here. 6:32. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Let me tell you about what happened. For those of you who don't know, in the Old Testament, when Moses was leading the children of Israel around the wilderness, they reached a place where they're in the middle of the desert and there was no food. Of course, they're complaining and they're wondering, what are we going to do? And there's nothing to eat and blah, blah, blah. God sent manna out of the sky and fed those people, over close to 3 million people, every single day. Can I give you the magnitude of that? The manna was white to represent the sinless nature of Jesus. It came at night. Isn't that interesting? To minister to the darkness in your life. Or how about this? But it was misunderstood because manna, the word really says, what is this? I said, huh? But here's a little statistic I think it'll help all of you. It was sufficient for every man's need. And here's kind of equated to how much it was to deal with the children of Israel. God gave them 240 boxcars of manna every day for 38 years. That's serving dinner. But Jesus is more than enough for everything that you need. Everybody bow your heads. I want to say some things to you as we close today. You say, how are we going to wrap all this up? We talked about a lot of things. But I will tell you this much. In my preaching today, there was something that resonated with you. And it could have been too when we got to that part we're talking about. That part of your heart that is under the paralysis to things of this world. So maybe some of you are stuck in that place where Amnon was, that you've made yourself sick thinking about things you want and you know you're not supposed to have. And then it gets even a little bit worse. Because you plot and you arrange to have it happen. And then you find out it's not like you thought it was going to be. And you try to dispel and get away from it, but there's no getting away. I want to give you a chance today to clear the slate, to get yourself in right perspective with Jesus. Because he's talking to you right now. And he's saying, bring it to me. That thing that's an idol that, whether you say, you just kind of laughed it off, the thing about TV and that type of thing, just kind of being an idol in your life. Really, it's not a laughing matter. When I say God's a jealous God, it's not like he feels like a TV could compete with him. But he says, I'm not going to share your heart with anything else. It's me 100%. I'm going to pray. At the end of my prayer, I'm going to ask for people that will say, you know, Pastor, today, I get it. And maybe you've succumbed to temptation this last week, and it's kind of like a habit that's developed in your life, but you say, you know, today, I believe I have the faith to be set free, that I don't need to go down that road again. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every other name, Lord, my heart goes out with compassion and understanding to people who have compromised their convictions or maybe even lost their convictions in a world that has caused us to be so swept up with culture that we no longer share the same viewpoint that you do about various things that the whole culture has adopted. Lord, but somehow it's real inside of someone's heart today that says, you know, I want to be free. I want to love Jesus with everything that's within me. Whether it's addiction to some things, it doesn't matter. Whether it's sexual addiction or addiction to other things, to food or whatever. I want Jesus to have every part of my heart and to love him unconditionally. Now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, I want to tell you something right now. One thing that will keep you from responding to Jesus today is your pride that will say, well, they'll think I've had a sexual addiction, or they think I'll have a food addiction, or they'll think I have this. It doesn't matter what they think. It matters what God knows. And you're responding to Jesus. You're not responding to their criticism. If God is calling to you today, and this may be the first time you've given your life or your heart over to Jesus, I want to say today that you can stand clean before God if you'd say, you know, God, I'm ready to do it. If that's you, I want you to lift your hand right now and say, yep, that's me. I need to get.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.